readings from John chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there." Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night then he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had to come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." She said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When Jesus, who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you were always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. She said to them, "Take off the grave's clothes and let him go." Therefore, many Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "Well, what are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is the man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Then one of them named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish. He did not say this on his own, but as a high priest that year he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple area, they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the feast at all?" But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was, he should report it so they might arrest him.
Well, good evening, everyone. These are remarkable things we've heard, maybe familiar to most of us, but absolutely remarkable. Let's pray and ask God to help us understand them. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just reflect again on this well-known account of Lazarus. Father, help us to see not just the significance for the disciples then, 2,000 years ago, but what this sign means for us in Birmingham in 2007. Please speak to us tonight through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. They were standing around the grave, the open grave. The pastor had just finished conducting the funeral service, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. And then a woman, turned out to be the dead man's daughter, a woman rushed forward to the graveside, and she screamed, "Where is he now?" Now, she didn't mean his body. His body was there in front of her, 6 feet away. No, she meant, "Where is he? There's more to a person than their body. There's more to being a human being than just this earthly life. Where is he now?" Have you ever seen a dead body? Have you ever been there when someone has died? Working as a hospital doctor for years and years, I've seen lots of dead bodies. I've been there when lots of people have died. And it's horrible. One moment, there's a person there, breathing, heart beating, maybe speaking to you. And the next minute, they've gone. And it's just a corpse, it's just a piece of flesh. It's horrible. You never get used to it. It's just somehow wrong. Well, Jesus, despite the fact he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, was all churned up about Lazarus' death. Look at verse 33 of John 11. If you've lost the place, it's page 1078 in the Church Bibles. Look at verse 33. When Jesus saw her, that's Mary, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Jesus was deeply moved. The word means indignant. It literally says he snorted with outrage. And then Jesus wept. This wasn't the formal wailing of the mourners that followed the coffin. This is a word that means quiet sobbing. So Jesus is deeply moved and outraged and wept. Sometimes we hear people talking about a natural death. We say someone died a natural death. She was old, wasn't she? And she died at home. And she died of natural causes, and it was a natural death. But there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a natural death. Jesus didn't consider Lazarus' death as a natural death. Listen to Dylan Thomas. Dylan Thomas wrote, "Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." Well, that's right. Death is an outrage. I think we realize that, don't we, in our hearts? Death is the result of sin. Death is an intrusion into God's world. Death is not what we were made for. And this raising of Lazarus, this sign we've read tonight, is a sign about death and life. Now, if you were here when we started this series about signs in John, you'll remember we said a signpost tells you about something you can't yet see. So you see a signpost, and it basically says, well, over the brow of that hill is a village. Now, you can't see it, but when you get there, that's what you'll find. Or there's a notice, a sign in a door, and it tells you, if you go through this door, you're going to see so-and-so or something. Just, you'll see it later when you follow. A signpost tells you where you're going to be. A signpost tells you what you're going to see. A sign brings the future into the present. A sign brings the future into the present. So the people of this world, mostly, they're living for the present. They're living for today. They're living for this life, for the things they can see and touch and feel. But as Christians, we are living, or we should be living, in the presence of the future. We should be living in the presence of the future. We belong to a kingdom that's still to fully come. We belong in Christ's kingdom. Now, the first thing we see, I think, from this sign of Lazarus is that the raising of Lazarus brings Jesus' resurrection into the present, in a sense, for these disciples. The raising of Lazarus brings Jesus' resurrection into the present. What do I mean by that? Well, Lazarus' sisters are looking back. Look at verse 21. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only." Look at verse 32. "When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" If only. They were looking back. But this sign is all about pointing forward. And what happened is no accident. It was deliberately engineered by Jesus. Jesus and his disciples were up on the other side of the Jordan. If you look up in your Bibles to chapter 10 and verse 40, just a couple of verses before we read, chapter 10 and verse 40, Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. And Bethany, where Lazarus and his sisters lived, that was about a day's journey from where Jesus and the disciples were. Now look at chapter 11, verse 3. "The sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" And then verse 5, "Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Actually, it says, when he heard that Lazarus, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, therefore, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. That's what it actually says. Because of that, it was deliberate. Jesus just didn't turn up too late. He had a purpose in this whole sequence of events. Now look down to verse 17. "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days." Even if Jesus had left straight away, Lazarus would have been dead for 2 days. Now, the Jews believed that when someone died, their spirit sort of hovered around in the area till the third day, and until it was obviously irrevocable that the person had died. And that's what Jesus does here. He waits deliberately, so he arrives after the third day. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that Lazarus was really dead. And Jesus knew Lazarus was dead. He said that to his disciples in verse 11. He said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." Sleep was a common euphemism for death. So we read in verse 12, his disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." And you know, Jesus didn't actually have to go to Bethany. Jesus could have said the word and just healed the man, couldn't he? Remember back in chapter 4, he healed the official's son. He didn't go, he just said the word, and it happened, healing at a distance. But Jesus has a purpose in all of this. In verse 4, he says, "It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus has a purpose in what happens here. Now, there are a few certainties in this life. Is it going to be a good summer? I don't know. Are you going to pass your exams? I don't know. Who's going to win the Cricket World Cup? I don't know. In fact, there's only one real certainty in this life, and that certainty is that you and I are going to die. I don't want to be gloomy, but that's true, isn't it? Like Lazarus, unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns first, every one of us in this sports hall is going to die. Now, it may be a long way away. I hope it is a long way away. I don't know. But life is a fatal condition. And death is not a spectator sport. All of us will die. And there's no good looking back when you get to the end of your life. There's no good saying, "If only I'd taken better care of myself. If only I hadn't smoked," or whatever. It doesn't affect the outcome, finally. A number of years ago, I read an obituary in the British Medical Journal, a doctor who wrote his own obituary. And this is what it said: 1968, stopped smoking. 1973, stopped drinking. 1981, stopped eating meat. 1991, died anyway. It's a certainty. Now, in a drawer at home, I have my birth certificate, and it's complete. I might as well have my death certificate. There's only a couple of things missing: the date and the cause. But it's certain. So, what hope is there? What hope is there? We live in a society that fears death. The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 2 says that we are people apart from Christ who all our lives live in slavery to our fear of death. And the hope for us is life after death. Life after death. Jesus had told his disciples already, repeatedly, he told them he was going to die and he was going to rise from the dead. And they just hadn't taken it in. They just didn't understand. The penny hadn't dropped. And then we come to this sign of Jesus raising Lazarus. And that sign brings the hope of Jesus' resurrection into the present for the disciples. It makes it visible. It makes it credible. The gospel brings hope. The gospel brings hope. I heard recently that missionaries who went to translate the Bible into Tamil discovered there was no word for hope. That society is completely fatalistic. No word for hope. The gospel brought them hope. Someone told me a couple of weeks ago that the Maasai tribe in Africa, their language has no future tense at all. So if you lock up a Maasai in prison, he just dies, because he has no concept of another day when he might be released. And the gospel brings hope, hope for the future. Jesus raised Lazarus as a demonstration, as a sign of hope, as a signpost to his own resurrection. And you know, Jesus' resurrection and Lazarus' resurrection have lots of similarities. Both of them died and were put in a tomb with a stone rolled over the entrance. Both of their bodies were wrapped in grave clothes. What they did in these days was they took a length of linen just over twice the length of the body, and they put the body with the feet near the one end of it, and then they pulled the other end right over the head and down to the feet, and they tied round the feet with a strip of linen, and they tied the hands to the sides with a strip of linen, and then they wound a separate face cloth round the head. Same thing done for Lazarus as was done for Jesus. But there are significant differences as well. For Lazarus, the stone had to be moved to let him out. So Jesus says, down in verse 39, take away the stone. For Jesus, the stone had already been moved in Easter morning. The stone was moved to let the witnesses in, not to let Jesus out. Lazarus' grave clothes had to be unwound. Verse 44, Jesus says, take off the grave clothes, let him go. On Easter morning, Jesus' body was gone. The grave clothes were empty, collapsed, still wound up, but the body was gone. Lazarus was going to die again. Jesus rose from the dead with a resurrection body that would never die again. Lazarus' resurrection was a sign of Jesus' resurrection. For the disciples, the raising of Lazarus brings Jesus' resurrection into the present. They're living in the presence of the future, in a sense. Now, secondly, Jesus' resurrection brings the final resurrection into the present. Jesus' resurrection brings the final resurrection into the present. Jesus' resurrection is itself a sign. So if I was to ask you, if you're a Christian, what do you think heaven will be like? What do you expect heaven to be like? Do you expect to be a disembodied spirit floating around? Do you expect to be sitting in a cloud? Eternal life is not just spiritual. No, God's image was most perfectly displayed in the man, Jesus Christ, with a body. The new heavens and the new earth will be a material new creation. Jesus' resurrection body was a real body. He could be seen, he talked, he could be touched, he ate, he drank, he walked. Jesus' resurrection body was material and physical. Now, Jesus spoke of his authority as the Son of Man. And he said, very importantly, in John chapter 5, which should come up on the screen for you, he said, a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice, Jesus' voice, and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. This is about the general resurrection at the end of this age. So Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. Come out of the grave. And one day that's going to happen for everybody. One day it'll be Apostle Paul, come out. Mother Teresa, come out. Adolf Hitler, come out. Hugh Thompson, come out. Everyone who ever lived, whether they're bones in a grave, or ashes scattered somewhere, or a body dumped in the sea, will be called out. No problem to God to recreate the body. He made it first time round. All human beings are waiting for that last day. And you have to wonder, if Jesus hadn't said Lazarus by name, Lazarus come out, would everyone in the graves have come out then? That's what's going to happen the last day. Jesus is going to say, come out, and all the dead are going to be raised. Well, when Jesus rose, that brought the final resurrection at the end of the age into this present age. In Jesus, that final resurrection broke in uniquely in this one instance. It's like turning to the end of a novel and seeing who did it in the last page. It brings the future into the present. Jesus' resurrection brought the final resurrection into the present. Of course, some people don't want to think about that. Some people don't want to think about the future. They don't want to think about a resurrection. Maybe they don't want a resurrection because that means they'll be accountable to God for how they lived. But Jesus' historical resurrection is the proof of our resurrection to come. Not just the proof of his identity, not just the proof of what he achieved. He blazed the trail for all of us. All of us will die, all of us will be raised from the dead. And if that's not true, Christianity is pointless. Christianity is not just for this life. Listen to Paul writing to the Corinthians. Paul said, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." Now, many people have some sort of idea of their own about what might happen after death. Many people in our society think, well, it's just oblivion. I'm just going to rot in the grave. Some people think they're going to be some sort of disembodied spirit or a star in the sky or something. And they have no evidence. They have no evidence for any of that stuff. But there is evidence for life after death. The disciples saw it in Lazarus' resurrection. We see it historically in Jesus' resurrection. How do I know there's life after death? Jesus rose from the dead. What gives me hope in eternal life? Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection brings the final resurrection into the present. And as Christians, we'll have resurrection bodies like Jesus Christ's body. You know, sometimes we say, if someone's been really ill, we say, well, what a shame, look at her, she's just a shadow of her former self. But you know, really, we're shadows of our future selves. We're really shadows of our future selves. We're shadows in the weaknesses we have. We're shadows in the illnesses we have. We're shadows in the sinfulness we suffer from. We're shadows of our future selves. But writing later on, John the Apostle wrote in his letter, he wrote, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We shall have a resurrection body like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that because Jesus' resurrection brings the final resurrection into the present. Jesus' resurrection life is living the present, that living in the presence of the future. Now, thirdly, faith in Jesus brings eternal life into the present. So the raising of Lazarus brought Jesus' resurrection into the present for the disciples. Jesus' resurrection brings the final bodily resurrection of all human beings into the present. But faith in Jesus brings eternal life into the present. So we find Jesus arrived in Bethany. He finds that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha comes out to speak to Mary, and to speak to Jesus, and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only." And then look what Jesus says to her in verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Well, that was standard Jewish belief, a bodily resurrection at the end of the age. So Mary says in verse 24, I know that. I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. That was standard funeral comfort for Jews. But Jesus' meaning is much more than that. Jesus is pointing to Lazarus' imminent physical resurrection. Yes, he is, but much more than that. Look at verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Resurrection is not just a doctrine. Resurrection is not just a future fact. Resurrection is a person. I am the resurrection and the life. So Jesus went on to say just before he died, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the life. Now we sometimes sing, in fact if you were here we sang it this morning, he came from heaven to earth to show the way. And that's true, isn't it, as far as it goes? But I think we might be better to sing, he came from God's future into the present. He is the way. He is the way. Now look again at verse 25. Jesus said, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. So the general bodily resurrection at the end is about to be demonstrated in Lazarus' resurrection and Jesus' resurrection. All of us will die. All of us will be raised bodily in the last day. But look what Jesus goes on to say in verse 26. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Will never die. Jesus promises spiritual life now. Spiritual life which will not be taken away when we die bodily. New birth into everlasting life. Eternal life which physical death can never take away. A spiritual resurrection now. So Jesus says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Now, if you're a Christian, you already have that spiritual life. You're going to die, your body's going to die, you're going to be raised bodily at the end, like everyone else. But if you're a Christian, you already have that eternal spiritual life, which can never be taken away. Faith in Jesus brings eternal life into the present. So Christians die bodily and go to be with Christ and wait for the final resurrection of the body. As Christians, we are new creations. Living the life of the new creation in this old world. Living in the presence of the future. And that was the reason John wrote his gospel. So we find towards the end of John's gospel, he says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. If we believe in Jesus, we have everlasting life now. Faith in Jesus brings eternal life into the present. So Jesus says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He says. And that's what I want to ask you this evening. Do you believe this? Do you? Are you born again? Do you already have that eternal life which cannot be taken away? The life of the age to come in this age? Jesus died in your place on the cross, taking the blame for your sins so you could be reconciled to God and have God's life in your heart. Spiritual life. So that eternal life can be yours now. Do you believe this? Perhaps you've heard it all before. I wonder if you'll hear it again. I don't know if you'll have the opportunity to hear it again. I wonder if you've really heard it, if it's really sunk in that these things are facts, that we're reading history. I was in Africa a couple of years ago. Someone said to me that God gave us two ears so things could go in one ear and out the other. And I sometimes think that's what happens when we read the Bible. Look at Jesus. Look at what happened 2,000 years ago. Raising Lazarus brought Jesus' resurrection into the present for those disciples. Jesus' resurrection brought our bodily resurrection into the present from the end of the age. Faith in Jesus brings eternal life, spiritual life, into the present now. Eternal life can be yours even tonight if you're not yet a Christian, so that you're no longer a slave to death. Jesus said about Lazarus, take off the grave clothes and let him go. If you're not yet a Christian, you're still wearing the grave clothes. You're still spiritually dead. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then even tonight, Jesus says, take off the grave clothes. Let him go. Let her go. Eternal life is what we were made for. This life can never finally satisfy us. This world can never finally satisfy us. We know we were made for more than this. Let me finish by reading something C.S. Lewis wrote. He said, there have been times when I think we do not desire heaven. But more often I find myself wondering whether, in our heart of hearts, we have ever desired anything else. It is the secret signature of each soul, the incommunicable and unappeasable want, the thing we desired before we met our wives, or made our friends, or chose our work, and which we shall still desire on our deathbeds, when the mind no longer knows wife or friend or work. All your life, an unattainable ecstasy has hovered just beyond the grasp of your consciousness. The day is coming when you will wake to find, beyond all hope, that you have attained it. My hope and prayer this evening is that that's you. John.
song, so I suggest we stay standing for the notices rather than an artificial bopping up and down. There'll be a coffee over in the school hall afterwards, immediately after this service, which will be followed at 7:45 for students by Student Plus. This evening we're going to be learning about William Wilberforce. It's the 200th anniversary of the abolition of the slave trade, and Wilberforce as a Christian was instrumental in that. So please do go along and find out about that, and maybe you'll catch a vision for how God can use you in our society if you're faithful in public life just as he was for the sake of Christ. So please go along if you'd like to Student Plus at 7:45, food and a real challenge and encouragement. If you're a visitor with us tonight and you'd like to make contact with us, please use the welcome card on the back of the notice sheet. And then our services next Sunday are as usual, 10:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the evening. And if you're a member of City Church, can I remind you there's a business meeting at 3:30 in the afternoon. He was reminding us that the resurrection of Christ brings the future into the present. Eternal life starts now and carries on. Are you living with that eternal life and with your sort of perspective focused on that future to come? We don't just wait for a personal resurrection. As Christians, we're waiting for a resurrection of the whole of creation, for a new creation. So we're going to sing of that in our final song as we sing, I Long for Heaven. Well, let's sing this and just really make this longing true of our hearts.